A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Got him. Ball game over. Ryan Pressly comes in for a 1-2-3 bottom of the ninth. Getting the 3, 4, and 5 hitters for the San Francisco Giants. Astros win it 3-1. They're now 3-2 on this road trip. And Blummer, after we saw a couple of leads evaporate the last two nights, that was a big save for Ryan Pressly.
That was a huge save for Ryan Pressly. Back in that familiar role, came in late, was able to shut that game down. So congratulations to him.
Do the Astros have a closer controversy?
No, they don't actually have a closer controversy.
Do the Astros have a Ryan Pressly controversy? He must shave his face before every game until he's bad again.
Do you believe that clean-shaven Ryan Pressly is the reason that everything was clean last night?
Clean-shaven Ryan Pressly has a 0.00 ERA on the season, Paul.
I like that.
I mean, look, you got to take what you can get right now.
That is quite the spin zone.
Clean-shaven, cleaning in.
We're feeling a lot happier. On today, Wednesday, June 12th of 2024, your Houston Astros have a 3-1 win in the bank against the New York Giants. And theoretically, what they win this afternoon could take 2 out of 3 and still be very, very, very slowly heading in the right direction towards 500.
You know, just, you know, one day at a time. One day at a time. We said win 2 out of 3 in the series.
I still want to sweep.
I know. But...
And I'm still not going to act like I'm happy about winning 2 of 3 against San Francisco. But I suppose we got to take what we can get. We got to be positive. We got some brisket and ribs from J-Bar M in our belly. Banana pudding.
Not yet now.
Yeah. I'm not going to go that far. Luckily, I've still got a ton of coffee to drink. They're also... At J-Bar M, debuting the Reggie Jackson brownie. It's a baked from scratch brownie recipe with ice cream from scratch. So we had a lot of that before. I'm feeling a lot better. And you know, Joe, we touched on him a lot over the last couple of weeks. It seems like now that Jose Abreu is just stuck in our lives, that Joe Espada is the new let's get mad at him every single day pincushion for the Houston Astros. And while I know that last night Josh Hader was unavailable, Espada said as much after the game. He had a scheduled off day. I still think that Joe Espada showed remarkable chutzpah turning to Ryan Pressly in the ninth instead of somebody more trustworthy like Brian Abreu. He lets him close it down, and Ryan Pressly goes out there a year where he has struggled and he has had bad luck. 1-2-3, 2 strikeouts, and the Astros closed a 2-run lead for the first time in their last 3 opportunities.
Chutzpah or stubbornness?
You think it might be stubbornness?
I mean, I don't really understand what Joe Espada was like, what was working in his brain last night.
Why is that?
Taylor Scott has a couple guys on base in the 7th inning. And Ryan Pressly got up, started warming up like he was going to come in then in the 7th to try to save the day. And then they sat him back down and didn't have him pitch the 8th. Abreu comes in. Pressly comes in the 9th. I found that kind of odd. I was just confused on what the strategy is behind that.
Maybe Espada was thinking about using Pressly in that spot as opposed to... to close out the game.
Yeah, it's... I'm going to lean stubbornness, to be honest.
I call it chutzpah because they won.
And it goes off what he said, though. You know, the quotes that we played earlier this week when he talked about Ryan Pressly and Ryan Pressly being our guy. And Ryan Pressly, we believe in Ryan Pressly. He showed it last night. So they're going to continue to do this for the foreseeable future. That Ryan Pressly is going to be your 8th inning guy. And if Hader's down, he's going to be the 9th inning guy. I think at this point now, with the struggles over the last handful of days, going to last night's game, the results that happened, it would be a mistake and a waste of our time to even ponder the idea of Ryan Pressly not being your 8th inning guy going forward. Kind of feels like that, you know, stamp of approval is there. This is the plan.
maybe it's due to financial reasons. Maybe it's due to, as Joe said, stubbornness and the Astros' history of sticking with guys who have pretty backs of their baseball cards, junk in the trunk, donk-a-donk.
Mm-hmm.
But Presley goes out there. Last night's big for him. The confidence, you hope, carries forward. And whether, as suggested, as a possibility, if maybe the Astros are looking to make a move at the trade deadline, maybe this makes him a more viable trade candidate if he pitches well in certain spots despite his bad luck. Maybe this is just now a guy that can bounce back. It is important to note that it's one outing. It's also important to note that the blown loss on Saturday was really, really bad. So all that said, I like that Espada showed some chutzpah there. Maybe he was thinking about using Presley a little bit earlier, as for what you said, Joe, where Presley at least was warming up. But I think I'm about to do what I did last year. I think because so many people are jumping on Joe Espada for the failures of this baseball team, I might be about to become a Joe Espada.
Oh, man. That means we're going to fight a lot, I think.
Yeah.
Because I'm really sorry to... Something over the last week is just...
I've noticed. You've been...
I've turned a corner in the wrong direction.
You've got your pipe out. You're shooting some darts out.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's toxic variant.
He's in my line of sight right now. That's good. That's a good dynamic for the show.
We're going to create debate.
Create debate.
For a 500 baseball team. My bad. They're not even close to that right now.
They'll get there.
I mean, I hope. They're taking baby steps. 16 of their next 19 are against bums. So, theoretically, it's possible. But they themselves are bums. There's still a lot of the same from last night's game. So, I am glad that the new wrinkle was Ryan Presley getting that save. But after the game, Joe Espada was asked how important it was for the boys to get themselves that dub.
It's easy just to let that loss from last night just linger and drag you, you know, to game two. But, you know, this group just bounces back. They find ways to fight back, and that was a huge team win right there.
But, I mean, it was Ronel Blanco, and it was the bullpen closing it down. Once again, I always see, Joe, this graphic online during Astros games when one of the three key things is missing, where you turn two buttons on, sort of like with a fuse box, maybe one of them turns off. You either have the starting pitching and the bats and the bullpen, or the bullpen and the starting pitching. You had the bullpen and the starting pitching last night. The bats, I get it.
A little bit of a lucky break with the Bregman play. You know, like it was, he
was
out.
No doubt. No doubt.
And then Yordan, who has turned into, over the last 2 days, the most aggressive base runner on the Houston Astros. A triple the day before. Yesterday, he nearly gets thrown out at second on that double. So you get second and third with two outs, and Pena hits a dribbler to get you nothing else. You would have liked to see him come through in the moment. But you talk about more of the same. More of the same frustrations is some of the things I still felt watching yesterday's game. Mauricio Dubon was awesome.
Two doubles.
John Singleton, that snag that he had. Jose Abreu doesn't
also
make that
two
play.
Hits. Yeah, I mean, think about this, Joe, to what you're saying with Singleton and Dubon. I mean, they had four of your seven hits. Trey Cabbage had the other one. Of your five, in the back of your order, you got those three getting five of your seven hits. And, I mean, we're also exaggerating a ground out, too, which we'll talk about a little bit.
Yeah, none of the runs... Like, with runners in scoring positions that turned into RBI, none of them left the infield. Yeah.
Right.
It's one of those, you take what you can get.
Yeah. Yeah, that is, we talk a lot about the luck of the Houston Astros this year and the mostly lack of said luck this year for the Astros. They got a little bit of, they got some good karma yesterday with, that's a game that they've lost before where Matt Chapman maybe just makes that play against Alex Bregman. Or maybe the Jose Altuve extendo bat that he has. Maybe he doesn't get a piece of that and he just swung at a terrible pitch. Maybe they don't score any runs instead of and lose 1-0 instead of win 3-1. So this is, it's a win. Hey, every win matters in this league. You know, it's tough. It's tough to win in this league, as they say in the NFL.
But this was not like
everything's going right kind of game.
I mean, they won this game. They're 4-29 when they score three runs or less.
Whew, there we go. And in this game, they barely got the three.
Yeah.
I mean, the Altuve play is just, oh, what are you swinging at? But it works some days.
I guess if it works, it works. They were 1-for-6 with runners in scoring position. They left 4 on base. On the other side, let's talk about that hit. My God, you would have thought that Jose Altuve did the craziest thing a batter has ever done with how it was discussed after the game last night. Is this just a byproduct of a disappointing season? We will react to it next. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Altuve reaches out and sends one to the middle of the diamond. That's going to be an RBI. I'm not sure how he hit that baseball.
How did he hit that?
How does he do it? Jose Altuve hits pitches that nobody else can hit, even when they're well off the plate.
That was a ground out. That was a ground out where the pitcher tripped over himself because of the ball coming back at him slowly. It goes to the exact right spot in the infield where there's no play at home plate with Dubon taken off on contact. And I don't know why, Joe, but yesterday this was praised on a level that depressed me. Come on.
It just made you sad.
I mean, they've been to 7 straight ALCS. We shouldn't be impressed by a ground out where Jose Altuve,
that's where we're at right now,
is swinging at a pitch that literally should not have been swinged at by anyone.
Hey, look,
no one should have swung at that pitch.
An RBI is an RBI.
I don't care.
In the box score on the back of the baseball card, it still shows up as +1. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, the most overrated hit we've seen in a while. It's okay. It's still an RBI.
But it's not like a suicide squeeze was going on. I mean, this was a I'm a crazy person swing. And hey, it worked out. I'm not saying don't do it again.
I'm saying don't do it again.
I'm more saying can we stop acting like that was the Mona effing Lisa? It was a ground out that didn't even reach second base.
It was a ball that was like barely even on the K-Zone little graphic on the app. It was like it was in the other batter's box. And yeah, is it only because he's 5'5"?
I think so.
I do think there's some short shaming.
There's definitely some short shaming, you know, Joe, because I was about to ask you, do you think you could have hit that?
No, I don't, because I don't think I could hit a baseball going 50 miles an hour.
Not even 50?
Come on, 50 slow.
Have you ever played baseball before?
Not really.
Probably.
I was too stubborn to wear my glasses, so I couldn't see the ball until it was like across the plate. So I just struck out all the time or got hit by a pitch.
Gotta get LASIK like Sean Payton apparently did.
We're gonna get there, I hope, at some point. We're gonna get LASIK in the next like 6 months, I'm hoping. But it's there's some short shaming going on here, okay? Like if this is Yordan Alvarez or Kyle Tucker, who are tall people, and they reach out outside the zone and their bat's across the plate in the other batter's box, like it's like, well, you know, like they've got long arms. Jose Altuve doesn't. It's like, look at this little man, you know, reach his bat across the plate and, you know, find a way to make contact.
If it was Jose Abreu, it would be like, look at this bum.
Yeah.
He got bailed out.
Fun fact, Jose Abreu would be getting trashed today if that was him.
Yeah, if he swung at that. But since it's Altuve, it was, and I'm sorry I'm using the word literally so much this segment, but that ground out was literally called magical by someone that I am now a defender of.
Jose Altuve magic. I've been trying to figure out for, you know, the years that I've been watching him play. It's just bat-to-ball skills. He's unique. That's what makes him great.
bat to ball skills, magic.
That's what makes him great.
My guy Joe Espada, who I feel is blamed too much for the Astros issues.
You know, not the walk offs against the Yankees, the clutch performances in the World Series,
batting champion.
A ground MVP. Out in the middle of the season.
That's
against a National League team that's under 500. Magic.
Most home runs in postseason history. Yeah. Nah. It's the terrible pitches that he's swinging.
This is the magic.
It's the immaculate right reception. He basically just called it the immaculate reception.
I hate to be sarcastic.
I think people are going to hate us for this.
No. We're right here. We should not be praising this. It was fortunate for the Astros because it was one of the three runs that they scored to improve their record again to, on the year, 4-29 when they scored three or fewer. Which is concerning considering their starting pitching for the most part has been good. Shout out to Ronel Blanco for last night's game.
Win's a win, Paul. How many games did they just need that big hit with runners in scoring position? They got the big ground out yesterday, but yes. They got the big ground out.
You said matters. The big hit.
Big
they
ground
need
out.
The big hit.
The biggest ground out.
Altuve, in particular, has weirdly not been good with runners in scoring position this year. And
RBI. Boom.
But that wasn't a hit.
Update your numbers.
Look, a win is a win. A win is a win, and RBI is an RBI. Okay? That's all that matters.
Yeah. Sorry. Does it come with an asterisk? No. This one doesn't. Maybe that's what people won't like. It's me saying the A word.
Oh, yeah. That's it. That is
with Altuve and the Houston Astros. Yeah,
that's a... That's the trigger.
You know what? We're feeling good. I will say, thinking back to yesterday's show, and as yesterday's game was playing out, I realized how right you were about how these West Coast games, and when they lose, are just a miserable experience.
Yeah, I'm just like, more tired.
When they won, I was like, oh, I feel so much better. It's like going to bed right now than I did the night before. I get like, you're just like, you're up so late watching these
you
games.
You didn't yell at your kid.
I didn't yell at him.
What time did you get to bed?
I mean, I didn't sleep much last night because he's still kind of sick, so probably like 3:30. But
damn, okay. Well, I thought I had it bad.
Yeah, I'm not sleeping.
They
much
could have
right
played
now.
Another game after the game. And
he's
still
like, he walked out of the room, was like, wanted to play at like 1 a.m. I'm like getting ready to go to bed. I'm like, well, I guess that you can watch my phone while I play Call of Duty for the next 2 hours until you're tired. That's what we did last night.
Man,
those are my parents.
So he wasn't watching you play Call of Duty.
No, he was watching my phone, watching like Baby Shark nonsense.
Wow.
Just until he got tired.
How old do you think until he just starts watching Call of Duty? Watching you play Call of Duty.
Oh, that's a good question.
Daddy, why are you not like Ninja?
I don't know. At some point, I feel like if he starts to comprehend what's happening, I have to stop playing Call of Duty in front of him.
Yeah.
When he's like,
throw the grenade.
That's probably now. I mean, the idea that he's looking at his phone the entire time as you're engrossed in this video game that you were playing until 3 a.m.
I had to wait till he got tired.
I'm a little concerned. I don't want Joe George Jr. growing up to be, someone.
Secretary of War.
Yeah.
He's going to be the Secretary of State. That's what he's going
to
do.
He's going to commit to the Army when he's 10.
It could be worse.
Because of these video games.
It could be worse.
Yeah, it could be Grand Theft Auto. That's way worse for
slippery
a kid's brain.
Slope.
It's a little bit worse. I don't know.
It's a slippery slope. Yeah. You can play Grand Theft Auto the right way and obey the traffic laws if you really want.
Oh, yeah, because that's so fun.
Respect all the women. Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah, I don't whistle at the lady of the night on the sidewalk. I don't do that. So, hey, things to be happy about. They did win 3-1 over the Giants. They can win 2 or 3 with a win today. Also, I'm glad that we did not see this move happen for the Houston Astros. I don't know how many people saw that Craig Biggio's son, Kevin Biggio, has been traded to the Los Angeles Dodgers. They traded a minor league reliever for him. Toronto had DFA'd Biggio, who is a second baseman primarily, but has played first, third, and right field this year. I am glad that nepotism, at least to this point, has not entered the minds of the 4 or 5 people, per Reggie Jackson, who make up the Astros Letterman Jacket Skull and Bones Society. These are the guys that we're all pretty sure are telling Dana Brown what to do, Joe.
Yeah, I was pretty I really thought Kevin Biggio was going to be an Astro.
You thought?
I thought they were going to do it. Maybe the only reason why they're not is because, as we saw yesterday after their win, even walking to the handshake line, Kyle Tucker can't walk still, pretty much. Like, I know they're talking about him playing Friday, and he's clearly like still not fully healthy.
Right. They
don't have a roster spot for Kevin Biggio.
No baseball activities yet. At least Yiner Diaz, for what it's worth, swung a bat yesterday.
But, yeah, I thought there was a chance. But, I'm glad, you know, hey, nepotism. I'm glad there's no nepotism. It's only the only nepotism starts at the top. Only Jim Crane has nepotism.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, because he fired, not fired, whatever. I don't know what Reed Ryan's departure really was. If it was a firing, public, you know, just like disagreement. But he got replaced by Crane's son.
Oh.
So Crane's son is in the front office. So there's some nepotism.
A little nepotism probably with Reed Ryan before.
No.
Yeah, that's a good point.
No, what?
You know, Kevin's not here.
Son
of
Nolan Ryan, for those who don't know. Yeah, Kevin not here. Chandler Rome did have an article about Astros trade possibilities. Speaking of Reggie Jackson, in that article, Chandler highlighted that Jackson's presence around the club has increased in recent weeks. He asked the question we've all been asking, if Dana Brown has full autonomy. He suggested the Astros might have to take on bigger contracts from teams looking to shed salary since they don't have any prospects, and that might put them over the second competitive tax threshold, competitive balance tax threshold. Ryan Presley might be their best trade chip, but he has a no-trade clause. Last night helps. There might be a chance, if they falter, of Bregman, Tucker, Valdez being the part included in conversations. And Pete Alonso's the name circled. Any of that, Joe, pique your interest?
Pete Alonso is interesting to me just because, like, you've already done this deal with the Mets. The difference is that he's going to be free agent in, you know, 3 months after the season. And you can't do another, like, Drew Gilbert-level prospect for Pete Alonso for a rental. Because at least JV, you know, was under contract for last year, this year, and he hits 140 innings. He could be under, you know, he could be back next year as well. So, you know, you're giving up prospects, but you're not immediately losing the guy. The part about the taking on more money, I find that interesting just because, Jim Crane really is telling the truth about the window never closes while I am the owner of this team. That is something that an owner would do. It would be to give up lesser prospects, take on a bigger expiring contract. Even if it's not expiring, you know, Vlad Guerrero Jr. is a name that's been brought up a couple times, even though the Blue Jays are playing a little bit better baseball recently. He's got a good chunk of change owed to him next year as well before he hits free agency. So Pete Alonso would be interesting. I mean, he's hitting .236 this year, but
is it better than Jose Abreu? Is it better than John Singleton, who had two hits in the nice web gym last night?
He's so much younger, so yes. I mean, he's 29. In the last 2 years before this year, he hit 46 and 40 home runs. So he does bring like a different dynamic to this offense where that would make a lot of sense.
Even if he's striking out a lot or not getting on base a lot, the idea of having somebody in this lineup who at the very least makes you nervous from a power perspective. We're going old school, like 2015 Colby Rasmus or Evan Gattis around that time, where at the very least they can hit dingers. And Alonso, as we see every single home run derby, can do that. So if Alonso's somebody that they can bring in, which would mean taking on salary and maybe going over that second competitive balance tax threshold, I'm cool with that. Joe, you did have an interesting suggestion that we might have to get to a little bit later about it, but another potential trade chip for the Astros. Maybe we'll do that in the 2 o'clock hour. Up next, we got soft boys. Who's been soft in the world of sports? 713-780-3776 to call, to text. The Houston Astros, one guy in particular that frustrates me a lot, has made the cut. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. Enter promo code BET975. You're going to get an awesome deposit bonus of up to $1,000. And you get to play with that right away. How do you play with it? Well, do a little blackjack, do a little poker with the live dealers at mybookie.ag. You can bet on all sorts of things that are not betting on sports, but mybookie.ag is where you go to bet for sports if you are here in H-Town. Mybookie.ag allows you to bet on baseball. Maybe you want the Astros, who are 1.5-run dogs with Framber Valdez on the hill against the Giants this afternoon. Or maybe you're taking a look at the NBA Finals, game number 3, tipping off at 7:30. The Mavericks are 2.5-point favorites over Boston. Kristaps Porzingis might have suffered a serious injury. That's what head coach Joe Mazzulla said. I don't know. I mean, I'm wearing a Celtics t-shirt right now and 2 beer shamrocks that I found on St. Patrick's Day. And yeah, I'm not feeling the luck of the Irish right now. I think I would take Dallas here. It's mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975 for that deposit bonus. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5.
Soft boys, in a tough sitch. Ime Udoka thinks you're a bitch.
In honor of that one time that Rockets head coach Ime Udoka said of LeBron James, quote, bitching during a game, soft ass boy. So, you can send in nominations at 713-780-3776. That's how you call. It's how you text in or on Twitter at Gallant Says at Joe George Radio. At Sean A. Mapes behind the glass. Did want to make people aware of a big-time Space Cowboys game June 27th for ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 night. You can get tickets for $9.25 by entering the promo code ESPN 925. Watch the future of the Astros, or I'm sure an injured Astro or two. And also see if any of our hosts will Brad Kellner all over themselves throwing out the first pitch.
My sources say Paul Gallant is throwing out a first pitch.
Yeah, I want to. I hear these balls are not traditional baseballs.
Yeah, they're not.
And I don't like that. I would like them to give me a traditional baseball.
Can we get you some spider tack?
Yeah, I was going to say, you might need some sticky stuff.
No, give me the real baseball.
I'll put a request in.
Cool. Because as I played baseball for 10 years, I feel like, at the very least, I'm not going to look like a complete idiot now.
What kind of ball did they use if it's not
It's like the one you get in the gift shop.
Oh, okay.
So I guess just like a little more slick.
It's the weight. The weight is what concerns me. I know how to throw a baseball.
Oh, then it just...
Because I remember how to throw a baseball. Yeah.
And last year...
I don't want to look like a soft boy out there.
I was filling in on the wheelie house with BK. And we talked to Corey Lee, interviewed him, and he got traded 2 days later. So...
I feel like...
So we'll see who gets interviewed on the bees and who will get moved within the next couple days at the deadline.
I think BK was talking about how every time he's thrown a first pitch, that the person who's caught it has gotten, like, demoted.
Or traded.
Or traded.
Yeah, Corey Lee caught the first pitch.
If you saw that first pitch, I would demote myself.
Yeah.
Well, if I had to catch that, I'd be like, what am I doing here?
I'm hoping, like, Jeremy will do it because I just feel like his ego will get in the way. Love you, Jer. And he'll
try to fire it in there.
I think he'll bounce it. I think you're going to make it. I got confidence, Paul.
Say, I think. I don't know.
No, Paul is going to throw a strike.
Paul's the one talking about the ball being the issue.
I hope.
So that's why.
That's because I heard everyone talking about how it's
nervous.
Not a real baseball.
Some of that was excuse making by BK.
Okay. Okay. Soft boys. Who's been soft? Well, I got to say, you got to speak if you blow a loss, even if it's through a translator. And Rafael Montero did not speak after the Astros blew the game on Monday against the San Francisco Giants. He declined comment through a team spokesperson after his 3rd blown save on the year, the 12th blown save by the Astros bullpen this season.
That's so soft. Just talk about how you were bad. It's okay. Not everyone has a good day. He has a lot more bad days than good days right now. But I also wish that this wasn't allowed. I wish that they were forced to talk to the media.
It's tricky if you're somebody who's in the clubhouse every single day. You have a different relationship than the other people who come inside. It's why they get very territorial when, I don't know, somebody decides to ask the manager of the team from out of town why he said he loves Fidel Castro and if people in Miami still want to kill him for that. That's what happens. They get a little mad about it and they get nervous. No one asked about, hey, Ryan Presley, putting him in the 9th inning after last night's game, for example. Yeah. They only asked if Josh Hader was unavailable. But Presley did come in, and Big Balls, a.k.a. Big Chutzpah, Joe Espada. You know what? Showed a little confidence there. cojones, letting him in.
Little confidence.
Or yeah. stubbornness, as Joe says.
Yeah, this is very soft by Rafael Montero.
Also soft, Buster Olney's Twitter password. It is very clear a Philadelphia sports fan hacked his Twitter, tweeting things like, "The season is canceled due to COVID. Shohei Ohtani has been banned for life from baseball in connection to charges with gambling. It is speculated he'll get life in prison. The New York Mets are finalizing a deal that will send Francisco Lindor to the Oakland Athletics. I hate Mets," among other things that Buster Olney said, which got a little bit more sexual.
Yeah, yeah.
He did tweet out something about panties.
Does he have it back yet?
I think he does have it back yet. Yes, if I get an unlimited prison sentence, who will come and bring panties? Buster Olney's Twitter password is a soft boy.
You think it was like I love baseball, but it's a zero instead of an O?
I bet it involved his birthday.
Yeah, definitely.
First child, birthday.
Buster number one.
Yeah, I was thinking Olney 1, 2, 3, but yeah. Olney was a zero.
When you work at big corporations, you have to change your password a lot to the point where it gets annoying.
Usually it's exhausting.
Once every 3 months. So some of the ways that I was remembering my passwords were very filthy in nature. Very filthy.
Would you? So I would use like similar passwords for things. So I would like change all my passwords at once. Otherwise, I would forget them.
Yeah, it's
like,
hard.
I would just like, if I was forced to get a new email password, I would then make that my new Twitter password.
You'd go in and change
the password.
I would
just go in. I'd be like, all right, this is it for the next 3 months.
But then what's hard is that you don't think about having to sign out of Netflix and change your password and sign back in. And so then when, you know, six months from then, when you have to sign into Netflix for some reason, then you're like, oh, shoot, I've gone through four of my all-time classics.
The classics?
I have no idea what my password is.
When the classics are gone, you're screwed.
My favorite is when you put in a password and it tells you it's wrong, and then you go to change it, and you put in the password that you thought was right, and it's like,
yeah,
this is your current password. You're like, what?
But like, then you can't use that anymore.
Then you have to change it.
Yeah.
Soft boys, I'm just going to say the New York Jets as an organization for one, letting Aaron Rodgers walk all over them, and two, allowing what's happened over the last 24 to 48 hours to happen. All they had to say was that Aaron Rodgers is doing something that's important to him, and we gave him the practice off. Instead, they said it was an unexcused absence. Today, head coach of the New York Jets, Robert Saleh, was attacked by crows pecking at his neck. New York media asking him about what the hell's going on with Aaron Rodgers.
Robert, you said that you were aware that Aaron was not going to be here before yesterday. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And Tyrod said he had only found out that morning. Is there any reason that wasn't communicated to him before? Or?
No, it's a one-on-one conversation. It's not something that the team needed to know about.
I think you're getting some blowback from media people about the use of the word unexcused, and because you were okay with him not being here, but you used the word unexcused. So I'm wondering maybe if you could clarify why you used that word. And also, did you tell Rod, did Aaron know he was going to be termed unexcused and how he reacted to that?
No, you're fine. Talked about it yesterday, but Aaron and I are on the exact same page. There's no issue between Aaron or his teammates, for that matter. So like I said, we addressed it yesterday. It's more of an issue for everyone outside the building than it is inside. And that's about it.
This is not going to make this go away, Joe. I feel like he should have just answered this saying, yeah, he's not here. He's dealing with a personal matter. You don't have to say if it was excused or unexcused. In saying it was unexcused, you have allowed the vultures to circle in New York, and this is why no one can take the Jets seriously as an organization. They consistently find a way to make routine things distractions that would not be distractions for any of the 31 other teams in the NFL.
Yeah, and I do think that this story is less of one with Rodgers if they're not also at the same exact time dealing with Hassan Reddick, who they just traded for, and he's not there. Like, that's a very clear, unexcused absence. This one, it sounds like they were aware of Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Robert Saleh said that. I do find it odd that they didn't tell Tyrod Taylor ahead of time that, like, hey, man, you're going to be QB1 today.
I mean, communication like that with the Astros would lead to Joe Espada getting crushed.
Yeah. So I'm not too surprised that the Jets are handling this wrong. Robert Saleh's an idiot. Like, there's a reason why we selected him as the coach most likely to get fired when they lose to the Texans.
I'm not going to go so far as to say he's an idiot, but I will say that I feel like he is in over his head specifically in this market, and I feel like he is going to be a defensive coordinator again very, very soon. Because at the very least, he was good at that.
And all Rodgers just has to do is, like, hey, guys, not going to be here next week. I'm going to do a bunch of drugs. The team's aware of it. Thanks.
But if he says he's going to some sort of, I don't know, Robert F. Kennedy event, the guy that he was allegedly considering being the vice presidential nomination next to on the ticket for this year's upcoming election. See, that's where it gets dicey. That's where you don't want Aaron Rodgers to say anything. But if you didn't say anything, this wouldn't have turned into the story that it became. Soft boys, is John Rahm soft for withdrawing from the U.S. Open at Pinehurst? He has an infected sore located between the little toe and next toe on his left foot. On one hand, golfers, tennis players, it's something about that country club vibe where, for the most part, I feel like all of them I could take in a fight. And because I feel like I could take them in a fight, I think they're soft. But if you are, over the course of 4 days, walking around as much as a golfer has to, and you have an infected sore on one of your feet, that would be pretty brutal. It might not affect your swing, but it would be pretty excruciating pain in between holes.
Apparently, he's been walking around with, like, a flip-flop and a shoe, which is also just weird behavior. So he's, because it hurts too much to wear a shoe. So instead of wearing flip-flops on both of his feet, he's got one shoe on, one flip-flop on.
Yeah, that makes sense, though, because you probably want to have one foot where you feel comfortable planting in, I would assume.
He's just walking around. He's just like, as he's just like walking the golf
course, making the rounds.
Yeah, why not just go both flip-flops?
That's too bad. That's not respecting Pinehurst.
I just
got to respect the course. I think his biggest issue in this report comes with the two words, little toe.
Yes.
If it just says he has a sore between his toes, let the mind wonder about, oh, okay. That must, when you put in the, oh, it's his little toe that got hurt. Why did he pull out? Oh, because his little toe is hurt. It puts it in the wrong, like, framing.
Yeah. Ronnie Lott, 49ers great safety, he might have cut off his little toe for that.
Exactly.
But it's between the little toe and the, I guess, ring
next
toe?
One. Yeah, that one doesn't have a name.
Yeah,
I learned.
That's what I was thinking, too. I was like,
ring finger, ring toe.
Yeah. I am watching a video here that Barstool put in their blog. It's from this weekend in Houston, it looks like. Uh-huh. He's playing for the Live Golf
team. The old Live, Laugh, Love.
How's he moving?
He hits it, and he is in immense amount of pain. And he can't get it over the water. So maybe he is actually.
Okay. Is it like the Kyle Tucker play?
As Sean says, it's a little toe. Thus, I deem him soft boy.
If it was any other toe, I think he's all right. Mm-hmm. It's a little toe. I, Marty Smith did him no favors.
The walking. Or just say it's on your foot.
Yeah, a foot issue.
Yeah.
A sore on his foot.
Yeah, because then, like, you could think, like, it's on the bottom of your foot. We would all understand that.
Yeah.
But, like, between your little toe and the whatever the next toe
is. Even if it's his big toe. I think everyone's like, yeah, his big toe's hurt.
That's important.
You can't walk without a big toe.
Walking would be hard with the little toe there. One last quick one. Dodgers fans overtook Yankee Stadium over the weekend. And Yankees fans and Yankees players said, never expected it here in New York. Oh! Hopefully no one was stabbed, because Dodgers fans sometimes do that. Also, a texter says, Joe George for always thinking about the Angry Bees.
I don't always think about the Angry Bees.
That's what the texter wrote.
I didn't mention the Angry Bees today.
I know, but that's what the from the 346.
Maybe yesterday?
Joe George is soft for always worrying about the Bees.
Disagree, but okay.
You didn't like that one?
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, listen to his response.
We do talk about that.
clearly doesn't like it. Well, yeah, we do. Yeah. We do. You could use me as your venting station. I'm a licensed psychologist.
I think we did talk about that today. Because I think I told the texters that were trying to take me out of context. Did not text.
No, you're getting in your head.
No, I'm just trying to remember the last time we talked about it.
No, yeah, I think it was yesterday.
Although,
I kind of think we mentioned them today.
We just did. Sorry.
Yeah. No. That's okay.
He's so short.
But they ruined my life.
There it is. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Someone on our YouTube channel is asking me to run onto the field at the next Astros game to see if they tase you. LOL. No, they don't pay me enough here for that.
Can you do the backflip first?
Maybe. Did that guy do a backflip?
He did a backflip and it starts running away and they tase him.
It was because he did the backflip.
Watching people get tased is one of the funniest things in the like on the internet.
Don't tase me, bro. Yeah, remember that guy at the University of Florida back in the day? All right. The NBA lost a legend today. It has me thinking about something the NBA does very poorly. The NBA Finals Game 3 is tonight. I don't even know what the hell this injury Kristaps Porzingis has. Let's try to pronounce it. And on top of that, I believe the Astros prank on the internet. All of that next. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it. Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it.
Well, is this the right tone to talk about something that happened in the world of basketball today? Who knows, but Jerry West, Lakers great, passed away at age 86. He's a Hall of Famer. He won one title as a player. He won 8 titles as an executive with the Lakers and the Warriors. And, of course, his silhouette is the NBA logo. One of the unfortunate things that the NBA... I think unintentionally created as a problem for themselves is that guys like Jerry West are known entirely for things by word of mouth as opposed to the actual skill that he had. Maybe it's because highlights don't translate to 2024 from the era where Jerry West played, but I mean, we don't even have tape of Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game. Did it even really happen? I feel like Jerry West is one of those players who has kind of been done in by how poorly the NBA, Joe, did a job of basically keeping all of the tape of every single game that's been played. Because you think of Jerry West more as an executive, or maybe even more so as the hilariously comical figure on that 2-season show on HBO about the Los Angeles Lakers, where the Jerry West is just way over the top angry all the time. I enjoyed that Jerry West, by the way.
Actually, I still haven't watched that yet.
The Jerry West in that TV show, which was canceled after 2 seasons, has John C. Reilly as Jerry Buss. It has Adrian Brody as Pat Riley. I think it was really, really well done as a show. This guy who looks exactly like Larry Bird is Larry Bird. A guy who looks just like Magic Johnson is Magic Johnson. I thought it was a very good show, but the guy who steals the scenes is the guy who plays Jerry West.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's also like he is a great like basketball player. I mean, he is, the only Finals MVP on a losing team.
Yep.
But it's hard to ignore for people who are like under 60.
Yes.
To not think of him anything else. Like, oh, I think of him as an executive. He traded for Kobe and Shaq. He told Kobe not to go to the Clippers because he could never play for Donald Sterling. You don't want to play for that guy. When he worked for the Clippers, he said that. Like, all these different things about Jerry West, great soundbite. Like you search his name on Twitter, there's all these great clips that people are putting up from Jerry West when he's doing media rounds. That's what I view him as. Like, he's an all-time executive.
But I bet he'd want to be remembered as an all-time player.
And he's the logo.
Yeah, the logo helps. It's tough to beat being the logo.
Yeah, you're the logo. I mean, there's a real argument that he shouldn't have been the logo. People try to make that all the time.
Should be MJ.
Like Jordan or LeBron or like any of these guys.
Kobe.
Kobe, yeah.
Like, after he died, people were like, Kobe.
Of course they did.
I mean, he got the All-Star Game MVP, though.
And
Kobe cultists are, you think Aggies are bad? Kobe cultists.
Yeah, they're pretty,
Kobe cultists are my least favorite basketball fan.
But yeah, basically everything like pre-Magic Johnson is just, and Larry Bird, not to just, you know, we're all Lakers here, pre-Magic Johnson. Everything pre that, in the NBA, the finals were tape delayed.
Yeah.
the finals used to not be on TV live.
It's crazy.
So, and I mean, that's what having Magic Johnson and Larry Bird do for your sport is having them on opposite coasts and playing in the finals every year. That is what got the momentum going, obviously exploded with MJ. But yeah, that is the unfortunate byproduct, is that guys like Jerry West kind of get forgotten.
Also, with Game 3 of the NBA Finals tonight, RIP to Jerry West, Kristaps Porzingis suffered a torn medial retinalcum, allowing dislocation of the posterior tibialis tendon in his left leg.
One more time?
A torn medial retinaculum, allowing dislocation of the posterior tibialis tendon in his left leg.
That's what I said when he got hurt. I was like, that's probably that thing.
It's bad.
Sitting on my couch.
I mean,
Joe Mazzulla said it's serious, and it sounds serious.
They're saying it's a rare injury.
A rare injury sounds bad.
All the Twitter, NBA doctors are like, I don't have this in my database.
Yeah. And it sounds like stuff's, popping out of socket, basically.
I have no idea what it means. He was walking around in the bowels of the stadium at some point.
They didn't have to put him down after, like a horse. That's good.
He's walking better than Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
Kyle Tucker?
He's moving. He's
moving
better.
Kristaps has this injury thing, walking better.
And they said it doesn't really affect you, your straight line, but it's the lateral stuff, which is what a lot of playing basketball is moving to side. So I don't know. Maybe he can play. Maybe he can tough it out. He did say he's willing to die on the court. So
hell yeah.
I feel like that would be a big injury if that happened. I don't know if the medial whatever is connected to anything that can kill you. But
his leg falls off.
Yeah, he's at the very least going to be limited.
To the leg bone, I would think.
Are you nervous now?
Yeah, I am a little bit.
It changes your perspective?
Yeah.
It's the kind of break that Dallas needed.
They needed something like this. Yeah, Porzingis has played great. So we'll see if he plays tonight. I am skeptical he will. I'm also skeptical he'll be back the rest of the series, because I just read that and I'm like, that sounds bad.
Even when he's... If he plays, is he really going to be playing?
That is almost... that's probably not worse than him, though.
Like the Knicks, when OG...
Yeah, OG and Anunoby.
He played...
And was just limping up and down the court for 5 minutes, and then they
couldn't
pulled
do
him.
Anything.
Yeah.
They threw him out there. He couldn't shoot. He couldn't walk. That's kind of what this feels like. Kristaps is going to go in there, off the bench, 7 minutes into the game. He might be out there for 3 minutes.
Well, you're just not going to get the full Kristaps... he could just stand in a corner. I'm sure he can stand in a corner and shoot a three.
Yeah.
He could probably still do that. It's just the pick and pop stuff, and then everything on defense, basically, that isn't standing under the rim and being 7'3". That is what's going to struggle. And at a certain point, is it worth it? Is it worth it to run him out there if he's being this bad? So they might try it like OG Anunoby. They might try it and just be like, ugh, didn't work.
Give him some drugs.
They were 100%.
Drugs.
Yeah, they full on report. Normally, they don't report in the middle of a series that hey, one of the guys is taking painkillers to play. Normally, that comes up afterwards after they lose. They're like, and by the way, he was taking painkillers since game two.
Well, it's usually the excuse that you use.
Yeah,
if Luka was in so much pain, but he was so tough taking these painkillers.
So tough getting that triple double.
Yeah. Playing elite level defense.
That is not the case, but everything else.
He got a Harden tape out just off of game two. He got some of the James Harden highlights on defense.
Yeah, they're not great.
That's Joe George. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Houston Texans seem to really be taking Nick Saban, of all people, to heart. We will explain how next. It is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 at ESPN Houston on YouTube and at twitch.tv/ESPN 97.5. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.